All right. I'm so thankful that you're here. A couple things to let you know about. First of all, the budget and all of the motions that we, the elders, recommended to the church passed this morning. And so we wanted to thank you for your participation in that and your votes. And we appreciate it very much. It's how we depend on you to be able to conduct business. So thank you so much for participating and being a part of that. And we're going to start our new series this morning, even though next Sunday Andy will be preaching and probably preaching a one-off, but we're going to go ahead and start Jeremiah this morning. And so I'm going to be doing an introduction to the book of Jeremiah. And then after we worship again here in a few moments, we have some really special things to do. We have deacons who serve this church sacrificially and well, and we want to introduce to you our deacons, and some of them are new deacons, and set them apart and pray over them for the year of ministry that they're going to have. And then finally we're going to introduce some new members. So we got a full morning. Thank you for being here, and I'm gonna start with introduction to the book of Jeremiah. So just for fun, if you want to turn to Jeremiah, and we'll just read verse 1 or 2. Let me get to Jeremiah chapter 1. And here's what it says at the beginning, which we will cover in more detail in 2 weeks. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, one of the priests who were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It also came in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, until the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, until the captivity of Jerusalem in the 5th month. So we get a tremendous amount of historical information and contextual setting, historical context for the book of Jeremiah right there in that opening paragraph. And as it said, he was born in a little village of Anathoth. It's 3 miles northeast of Jerusalem, so it's not a long way from the center of the of worship. And it was an area settled by priests. And if you remember, David got crosswise with one of the priests when that priest supported Absalom in a coup. His name was Abathar, and so he effectively banished Abathar from Jerusalem, and he banished him to Anathoth. And so it's possible that Jeremiah is a priest, a descendant of the line of Abathar, but there's no guarantee because we don't know who Hilkiah's father is. Also, if the name Hilkiah sounds familiar, does it sound familiar to anyone? It's not trivia, but it's something that most people wouldn't know. Hilkiah, anybody? Hilkiah. Okay, whenever they found the book of the law in the temple during the reign of Josiah, I hope y'all remember that, one of the priests who actually found the book was named Hilkiah. Now, it's possible that that was Jeremiah's father, but if it had been my dad, I probably would have mentioned it in my writings, but Jeremiah doesn't. That doesn't mean he is. It doesn't mean he isn't. It's an interesting coincidence, and it's a connection that's been made throughout the history of interpretation of the Old Testament. But there's no guarantee that it happened. Okay. Now, the actual date of his birth is not given, but the date of his call to ministry is, and he was called to be a prophet of God in the 13th year of King Josiah. So we know when he was called to his prophetic ministry. We also know that he was a youth whenever he was called. In fact, that's one of his sort of excuses that he gives to God when God calls him. He says, hey, how can I do this? I'm only a youth. Now, we don't know exactly what a youth is. Okay, so Josiah, anybody remember how old he was when he became king? Eight. Wow, we got some people that know this stuff. 8 years old. So what's 8 plus 13?
21.
Okay, so when Jeremiah was called to his ministry, Josiah was 21. And Jeremiah says of himself that he's a youth. Now, I'm going to say, just pull out of thin air, that a youth is somewhere between 12 and 20. I don't know if that's correct or not, but why am I going through that? I'm trying to show you that Josiah, this great reforming king of Judah, and Jeremiah were roughly the same age. They were both young when one was 21, we know for sure, and the other was a youth at the same time period. So when you're trying to think about what was happening and what it was, what is the historical place in the scripture where Jeremiah fits, you have to think and begin with Josiah. Okay. We know probably more about Jeremiah, for whatever reason, it's just the way the book is written, than any other prophet, and it's not even close. For example, we know that Jeremiah was single, and he remained single all of his life. God forbid him to marry. And as we're going to see in a few minutes, Jeremiah lived through the very darkest days of the history of Judah. There had been dark days all along the way, but the darkest days were the ones that Jeremiah lived through and prophesied to the people through at the end of their history. And he faithfully proclaimed God's message, even at great personal cost. So he shows up during the reign of Josiah, who was a good king. And he's preaching a message of repentance toward God. And this message of repentance made him very unpopular. And because the people felt like they were repentant, but they were outwardly repentant, not inwardly repentant. And we're going to see a lot about that in the book of Jeremiah. And then as the historical situation progressed, Jeremiah began speaking from God to the people that they needed to submit to Babylon rather than fight against Babylon. And Babylon was enemy number one, and the people hated Babylon, so they hated Jeremiah and considered him a traitor for saying that they should submit to the king of Babylon. And so he was hated by kings and priests and prophets and commoners alike. He suffered slander, personal assault, and was threatened with death. He was beaten, he was thrown into prison, he was cast into a cistern and left to die, and would have died except one of the nobles appealed for his life and lifted it up with some old rags and ropes. And the guy, he was very much a suffering servant of the Lord. He was constantly suffering for faithfully delivering the message of God. In fact, most, when you think of a prophet in the Old Testament, you should think of one who speaks. They speak the word of God. Now, how that becomes a book is different for each one. But Jeremiah was literally a writing prophet because, as you'll see midway through the book, God commands him to write down the prophecies that he's been giving. They give those prophecies to the king, Jehoiakim. To attempt to break the power of these prophecies, cuts them into shreds as he reads them and burns them in the fire. And then God commands Jeremiah, hey, write it all down again. And so Jeremiah, with the scribe, Barak, Baruch, they write it down again and they add many more words to them. So Jeremiah was one of the very first literal writing prophets. And let's see. Okay, so as I said, and then the king tried to kill him and they had the Lord hid them and so on. Now, so from the very beginning of his ministry to the end, he suffered insult, rejection, and persecution, yet faithfully proclaimed God's word to the end. And even after he had been proved right in all of his prophecies and everything he said came true and the judgment of God fell upon his people, when they asked him for advice at the end, he gave them the word of God. They rejected the word of God to the very end. These are even the survivors of the conquering of Judah. Even the survivors rejected the word of the Lord, and in disobedience, explicit disobedience to God, instead of staying in the land, they fled and went to Egypt, and they took Jeremiah with them. Gosh, it's just it's really just a tragic story of this, the faithfulness of this prophet and the unfaithfulness of the people that surround him. Okay, so that's the biographical sketch. And we assume that he died there in Egypt. That's the biographical sketch of Jeremiah. Now, there's a lot of things that could be done in an introduction, and in this case, what I felt like was the most important thing that I could help share with you to help you understand this book is the historical situation that Jeremiah lived through. And so I'm going to try to break it down a little bit, because if you don't understand what's happening on the historical stage, the prophecies of Jeremiah lack any context. And so let's begin by saying this, that the ministry of Jeremiah coincided with a clash of three of the greatest world empires of all time. It is during the days of Jeremiah that Egypt, Assyria, and Babylon, all three are fighting for control of the ancient Middle East during the days of Jeremiah. And it's like a tennis match, because all three of them during the lifetime of Jeremiah had full control of the ancient Near East. And so keeping in mind Egypt, Assyria, and Babylon are essential to understand the kind of prophetic messages that Jeremiah is going to give. As I said, each one of these empires exercised varying amounts of control over the ancient Near East. Egypt was the longest running and most powerful world empire through that whole stretch for 1,000 years. The power of Egypt influenced everything that went on in the ancient Near East. Even Solomon and David made marriage compacts with Egypt so that they could survive. In other words, it wasn't possible to be independent during those days in the Middle East. So Egypt was this powerful force constantly influencing the politics and the life of the people of Israel. So that's our first power. The second one, around the time David became king, was the rise of an empire called Assyria. And Assyria began a campaign that would eventually make them the uncontested rulers from the Tigris, Euphrates Valley, all the way to the borders of Egypt. And their influence, if you read the Old Testament, especially 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, you read about Assyria a lot. And if I'm not mistaken, they made 6 different incursions into Israel during the time of Isaiah the prophet, not during Jeremiah. So So Assyria was this very powerful, very brutal world empire that was exercising a tremendous amount of influence in the Middle East. They basically stripped Egypt of their ability to influence things, and Assyria controlled much of what happened in Israel and Judah for like 150 or 200 years. Now, the most important thing about Assyria and their role was when the northern kingdom had finally rejected God to the point where there was no remedy, it was the nation of Assyria that conquered them and dispersed them among the nations. They didn't carry them whole into exile. They dispersed them among the nations. And it was a slaughter. So this is the role of Assyria. Assyria, one of these mighty empires that was impacting the Middle East. Well, at the time of Jeremiah, Assyria, the power of Assyria is waning, and there's a new kid on the block, and the new kid on the block is Babylonia, or Babylon. And so, there was a lengthy and protracted battle because both of these civilizations, the Assyrians and the Babylonians, were both Tigris-Euphrates Valley civilizations. And they fought hard over that area. But Babylon eventually defeated Assyria in 609 under Nabopolassar. Assyria was defeated at the Battle of Haran. Now, it wasn't completely over, but that was the big decisive battle where Babylon became ascendant over Assyria. Egypt, on the other hand, was actually more scared and more nervous about this ascendant Babylon than they were Assyria. So Egypt literally marched out to go and reinforce the leftover armies of Assyria against Babylon. So again, we see these three major powers all fighting over for influence in the Middle East. As Egypt is marching north, now this is happening during the days of Jeremiah. King Josiah makes the decision to try to stop Egypt. I don't know if I gave you any dates, but I think 627 or so is when Josiah became king. And so now we're like 609. And this is when, it's in 609 that Josiah is going out to try to stop the Egyptians. And it's not clear if he was trying to support Babylon or simply stop Assyria from getting aid from Egypt. Nevertheless, Josiah died fighting Egypt in the Battle of Megiddo. And this was significant because when he died in battle against Egypt, Egypt swept right on through into Jerusalem, conquered Jerusalem, and they deposed the king who had taken Josiah's place. His name was Jehoahaz. They deposed him, they took him to Egypt, and they set a king on the throne in place of Jehoahaz, and his name was Jehoiakim. And Jehoiakim is a famously bad king in Judah, and he was placed on the throne by an Egyptian pharaoh. So for a short while, Israel was back under Egyptian domination, but it didn't last long. And again, this is the background of all these prophecies that are hard to understand in the book of Jeremiah. So what happens? Egypt goes on north because they are trying to stop the rise of Babylon. And when they go north, they eventually engage Assyria, and Egypt engage Babylon in the famous battle called the Battle of Carchemish. And at the Battle of Carchemish, Egypt and Assyria and all of their allies are utterly defeated, so the Babylon is now in charge. And so it took about 18 months for Egypt to have this battle against Babylon. And so having defeated Egypt, one of the first things Babylon does is march south on Jerusalem. And what do? They immediately depose the king that Egypt had set on the throne and put their own king on the throne. And this is constantly what's happening to this poor nation as judgment from God. Okay, so when Jehoiakim, he's the one who followed Jehoiakim. He only served for 18 months. Then he rebels against the king of Babylon, which is always stupid because the king of Babylon is way more powerful than you are. And so the king of Babylon comes and he conquers Jerusalem. And this is the first deportation. He takes Jehoiachin and the valuables from the temple and so on, and some of the leaders, and he takes them to Babylon. So after Jehoiachin, we're followed by this king Zedekiah. Zedekiah, we could say a lot, but what I'll say is he also rebelled against the king of Babylon, and this time the devastation of Judah was complete. This time when the king of Babylon came, he didn't mess around. He broke down all the walls. He destroyed the temple and burned it with fire. He took every single person in the land who had any kind of authority, power, or skill, and deported the whole group en masse to Babylon. And he left only the poorest people of the land. And this is what Jeremiah is witnessing over and over and begging the people to turn to God and repent so that God won't have to do these things to Jerusalem. And so the people who, then I already told you this part, he appointed a governor, Gildiah, over the people. They hated him because they thought he was a Babylonian sympathizer, which of course he was. So they killed him, and then they were scared because they killed him, and so they all fled and went to Egypt, and they took Jeremiah with them. It's just one huge tragedy. Okay, so now I told all of this is history, but it wasn't just a series of events. All that is happening here is the result of the sin of Judah. And from the beginning of the ministry of Jeremiah to the bitter end, the people of Judah scorned the word of God that came from Jeremiah. Jeremiah was called to ministry in the 13th year of the reign of Josiah. He stayed at his post and faithfully proclaimed God's word all the way until he was carried off to Egypt after the final siege and destruction of Jerusalem in 586 BC. Now, Israel and Judah were not normal nations. They were the people of God, and people whom God had chosen for himself to bring him, to bring him honor and glory. The people of Israel and Judah were his covenant people. They were people whom he had rescued out of slavery from Egypt with mighty signs and wonders. And then he brought them to the mountain. And there on the mountain, he entered into covenant with these people. And he said, on the basis of this covenant, that he would be their God and they would be his people. He was going to provide for them and take care of them. That was his part of the covenant, and their part of the covenant was to obey his laws, to have no other gods before him, and with moral provisions as well. And so this was the covenant that united God and his people. And so what we see in the history of Israel over and over and over again is the responsibilities of the people of Israel were, you could call it the law. It's recorded in the law. And what did the people do? They consistently disobeyed God's law. And this is the craziest thing about it. They consistently worshiped other gods. They consistently disobeyed the Ten Commandments. They were consistently greedy and selfish. They were consistently idolatrous. They were consistently horrible people. Like all people. Okay? And so, and so they have this covenant that unites them with God. And somehow, even though they never do anything right on their side of the covenant, even though they never fulfill their covenant obligations, somehow they still expect God to fulfill His covenant obligations to them, and they're angry and they're bitter and they complain when He doesn't. It's crazy. And we're going to see it over and over. And so what happens? See, and we see this in Israel. Israel was a covenant people of God. And they finally got to the point where the covenant was broken. And God said, that's it. There's no relationship left here. And He gave them over to Assyria. Ah! And instead of learning a lesson from that, Judah went down the exact same path. Yes, it took another 100 or almost 200 years. But they went down the very same path, thinking somehow because they have a temple and because they offer sacrifices and go through the motions, that the God of heaven will keep His end of a bargain that they have utterly rejected and refused to. And so this is the message of Jeremiah. Jeremiah is telling the people, listen, you can't expect God to keep a covenant that you are breaking. And so, I think this is what you need to know in a nutshell to understand the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah presides over the failure of the old covenant. If anyone could have saved the people, it would have been Jeremiah. I mean, if anyone, any normal person, he spoke truth to them over and over and over. If they could have been saved, if the covenant could have been saved, Jeremiah was the one to do it. And as you read through this book, you will see that it simply is not possible for that covenant to be saved. Why? Because of the people. They're too sinful. They're too sick. They're too corrupt. And they cannot repent. And this is what Jeremiah eventually accuses them of. And so, it's a hard book to read. But it's also a glorious book to read because not only does it demonstrate the absolute abject failure of the first covenant, it promises a new one. Amen. Woo! One that doesn't depend on our ability to keep the rules. It's a great, great book. It points to a future where Israel, will not continue to struggle to be the people that God wants them to be. They won't continue to consistently refuse to fulfill the terms of the covenant, but rather, they're going to enter into this time when this gracious and compassionate, long-suffering God enters into a new covenant with them. See, the exile is not eternal, but God is. He has a plan to inaugurate a new covenant with a new people, with new obedient hearts, and a new eternal king who will rule forever and ever. And Jeremiah even promised that God had an eternal remedy for their rebellion and their sin, so that He could eternally forgive their sins and remember it no more. This is what the people needed to have a relationship with the living God. that they didn't need to, they needed a new covenant. The covenant they had was never going to work, not because of God, but because of them. And so that's what Jeremiah is doing. He's chronicling in painstaking detail the failure of every human to live in such a way that they can be acceptable to the living God. That's what we see in the book of Jeremiah. And Jeremiah also promises that there's a way. There is a way. And it's based on the finished work of Jesus Christ, so that we can have an eternal relationship with the living God. It's a great thing. And so, I just want to encourage you as we go through this book, there's going to be some repetition, and I'm going to try not to minimize that. If God wrote it twice, I reckon it's twice as important. Amen? So let's try to let this thing speak. I'm not going to rush through it, but I'm also not going to spend 10 years. So pray that I can pace this thing in a way that doesn't hurt us, but that allows us to really see what God is doing in this amazing book. Every week, as we look at the failure of the old covenant, I'm going to try to faithfully remind you of the glorious success of the new covenant. Where Israel failed, we will succeed because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. And so I invite you to come back, read this book, and also, and just in case you were saying, well, I don't remember any of that history you told me. That's all right. Because you have it right here. Turn. All you have to do is, like, get a little bookmark in 2 Kings and 2 Chronicles. Okay? When I'm reading Jeremiah, I turn to 2 Chronicles and 2 because who can remember Jehoiakim and Jehoiachin and Jehoahaz? And then they change the name. Sometimes it's called Shalom, and it gets so confusing. And so I can't remember. Wait a second. Who conquered who and who was first? Just open your Bible. Look back. So get really comfortable starting with Josiah in 2 Chronicles and reading to the end. Start with Josiah in 2 Kings and read to the end, and it'll remind you of this history over and over and over, because it's really helpful to understand this book as we go through. And I'm excited to teach it and preach it. Pray the Lord will use it to help us trust Jesus even more than we do now. Okay, I'm going to pray, and Keith's going to come and lead us in worship. Father, thank you for this book that we're going to get to study. Thank you that you haven't abandoned your people. Thank you that you made a way so that we can have the eternal covenant with you, one that we can't mess up. We're so thankful, and I do pray that as we go through the book of Jeremiah, that you will show us our hearts, our deeds, those things that we're doing that are not pleasing to you, and that we would repent. And I pray that you would show us that the power to live that kind of life that only comes from you, it's only something that you can do in us and through us. So I pray that you would really use this book in our lives to help us be and live as the kind of people that you love to bless, because we are those kind of people. Help us to learn to live that way, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Stand to your feet and we'll worship together.